Jackson Landers is with us. He's in Virginia, and he finds and kills and eats things, but it's defensive because they're invasive species. So it's kind of interesting, actually. And we have him in line with us right now. And Jackson, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you prefer Jackson or Jack?
You know, either way is fine. I guess Jackson is a little more distinctive, so you can go ahead with Jackson. There's lots of Jacks out there.
Yeah. Now, is it true that you listened to the show when you were a kid, and that sort of formed your whole idea of eating invasive species?
Well, it didn't inform my idea of eating invasive species, but it's definitely. I listened to your show when I was a kid, when I was in probably fourth or fifth grade. I think it was WAMU outside DC. And I remember reading an interview one time where you mentioned that everywhere you go when you take the show on the road that you would do you would read a local paper for a week before you show up, and that's how you would show up and sound like you knew what you're talking about. And so as I've been traveling around a lot, working on this book, eating aliens, eating these invasive species all over the place, you know, I go to these different towns and I work with the locals on that, and that's a trick I picked up from you. I always read the paper for a week before I show up.
Yeah. And so technically you are a locavore hunter, is that right?
Yes, I am.
What does that mean in English?
Yeah, I try to make a point of eating meat that is local, that's right around me, instead of something, and I hunt for it, as opposed to getting something at the grocery store that maybe came from 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, I noticed that on your bio, your occupation is predator.
That's right.
Should we be alarmed at that, because, you know, given these days that we live in?
Well, you know, I'm also with what they're calling an invasive war now, and human beings have been, Homo sapiens have been in North America for, you know, some tens of thousands of years. I think I'm willing to call you native, so you're safe.
Oh, so we will not be predated.
Yeah, you're okay.
Okay, that's cool. But what's this about eating Lutheran lionfish? That's a little disturbing.
It is. Well, the lionfish are they're native to the Pacific and in Indian Oceans, and they're these fascinating looking things with a big sort of mane like spray of venomous spikes that come out of them.
Yeah.
And someone got into the head that'd be smart idea to put these things into the Atlantic Ocean. And there they are, and they're sort of taking over the reefs. They're all over the place.
But they're Lutheran?
They are found off the coast off of Eleuthera, the island of Eleuthera in the Bahamas.
Eleuthera.
Okay. Yeah, Eleuthera. It's an island in the Bahamas, and they're
right. Because we have a lot of Lutherans around here. And,
yeah.
And it was disturbing at first.
Yeah, yeah.
Predator seeks Lutherans.
That's right. No. I'm not going to be eating any Lutherans. No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank goodness for that. And so you actually went out to hunt. Now, these are invasive species, and did you actually capture some and eat them? Because how can you eat something like that?
I did. Well, the venom is localized in the spine, so you chop those off, and the meat is actually perfectly good. It's very good. It's a lot like Chilean sea bass. But I did go out there, and it's not like fishing where you drop a line in the water and you wait for something to bite on it. You actually have to go underwater with a mask, fins, and a spear, and you spear them.
Yeah.
You're coming face to face with them.
I know. I watched the video.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, you should get someone who does camera work for you, though.
I should. Well, you know, it's a little shaky. The problem is we're trying to sort of not die while we were doing it.
So if one of these, they sting you and they can kill you?
It's sort of like if you get bit by, we have a snake called a copperhead out here. I don't know if you have them in Wisconsin, but it's like if you get bit by a copperhead, you're probably not going to die. It's going to ruin your day for sure. And, you know, if you're really small or if it takes you a long time to get to a hospital, then you could die. It's probably just going to hurt a whole lot. I would say it's more of an issue if you get stung in the water as opposed to handling the fish in a boat.
Yeah.
And maybe you can't swim back to shore and there's no one to get you there. You know, your arm swells up, you can't swim.
No.
Then
yeah.
You could die. Yeah.
That'd be bad. Bad scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. So let somebody else do the fishing and eat them. What I think we need is a market for lionfish in the United States, so we eat them and enjoy the romance of someone else risking his neck.
So now, do you honestly think that if we get enough people to eat lionfish, they will cease to be an invasive species?
Oh, sure. I don't think we could remove them 100%, but we could knock a lot of them down. When people decide that something's good to eat, you know, we can get rid of a lot of them. In Wisconsin, you guys were ground zero for the passenger pigeon 150 years ago.
Yeah.
You seen any lately? You know,
I don't know.
We ate them to death.
I've seen none with passengers on them. I know that. Some of them are pedestrians.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? And speaking of, you know, traveling around the country, reading the papers, you know the number one invasive species threat that I run across in the country?
Where's this going?
That wasn't the question. Do you know the number one invasive species that turns up in all these newspapers?
I'm going to get, let's see, pigs and lionfish are the and the Asian carp. Those are the three.
This is not a real question. You don't have to answer this. Just, you say, no, what? And then I tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Feral cats.
Feral cats?
Yes.
I don't want to eat a cat is the thing, you know?
Well, I know, all right. That's what I'm pointing. It's a problem. It's a dilemma because you read about it in all these papers everywhere, where you go. You say roaming packs of cats.
Now, I will say something about with feral cats. You don't see them way off in the wilderness, I've noticed. You see them close to human habitation. I think if we spay and neuter them and then stop feeding them, that they'll kind of disappear. They seem to be more of a problem on islands. Well, they'll just kind of go through everything, like in New Zealand.
Well, couldn't you spay and neuter the Lutheran lionfish as well? And then,
they don't let you get that close to them.
Yeah. Well, are all these things edible like that? I noticed like iguanas are on your list. Iguana.
It's very edible. It tastes like chicken with the texture of crab. And in fact, I think I can boil most of the terrestrial things anyway that I've eaten. Pretty much everything tastes like either beef, chicken, or pork. The texture varies, but the flavor, everything tastes like those three things pretty much.
Uh-huh. But are iguanas actually an invasive species we have to worry about?
We do. There's two species of iguana that are trouble in Florida, and one is the black spiny-tailed iguanas, and those are not being killed off by the cold winters lately because they go down into burrows. And they will eat pretty much anything that they, you know, they'll eat the eggs and young of the burrowing owl there. They eat eggs and young of the scrub jay. So they are pushing other species into extinction, actually, by their presence.
Yeah.
So, we do have to worry about them. It is a useful thing to eat them.
I mean, you could spend your whole time in Florida, though, couldn't you? I mean, invasive state.
I could spend years doing this in Florida, absolutely.
Yeah. Because anacondas, pythons.
They probably any kind of exotic snake. They've got them down there. They've got spectacled caimans, which are like little crocodiles, in there with the actual crocodiles, as well. They've got pythons. They've got you name it. It's a problem down there.
I did name it. That was it. That's all I knew. I know because my wife and my oldest daughter went down to Florida, and they're going to go to the Everglades. And Sandy was alarmed because she read a story about the pythons, that there are now more pythons than... there's alligators out there. That's something to think about, too. But apparently they are... I don't know if they don't feed on alligators, do they, pythons?
They do. Actually, I've seen it go both ways. There's some really great pictures of that floating around the Internet. They'll eat each other, and sometimes it's kind of a draw.
A python eating a python?
A python eating an alligator, an alligator eating a python. They both think of themselves as top of the line predators. They get into some scraps. But you can go into the Everglades. Actually, the problem is that you could spend a couple days wandering around and not see a single one. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's such low visibility. They've been trying to hunt them there, and they had a whole hunt last year, and they had all these people come in, and nobody got a single one, actually. So.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about them is they taste like chicken.
Snake actually tastes like, I would say it's a lot like crab, actually, most of the snakes.
Crab is good.
Yeah.
And you don't have to crack the shell. That's a good thing.
That's right. It's like peeling a stalk off. Really easy.
And then I saw a show, and they got these Korean fish that they serve in Korean restaurants in New York. I'm not quite sure what kind of... It's a really weird kind of fish. It might be one of these walking fishes that eats babies that are out on their porches.
So you're talking about the snakehead.
Snakeheads, yes.
And
they
tried.
They were saying that. Well, if you leave your baby out on the porch, then
they've actually made two
snakehead
B or C grade, I guess, horror movies about the snakehead after the big to do about those in 2004. And some people think they will. I don't think they're quite as bad as all that, but they do make good eating.
They do, and the Koreans love them. And in fact, they brought them down there to breed them in the estuaries of Florida, and they spread all over the place. I think that's the origin of them.
Yeah, and you get people. They were common in the aquarium trade. People would have them in a tank, and then sometimes you get a fish, and it looks like a lot of fun when it's 3 inches long, and then all of a sudden it's 12 inches long, and you don't have room, and you don't want to kill your pets, so the people dump them out. Yeah. And that is how a whole lot of these things have gotten out into the waterways. Is people get something and it gets a little bigger than they thought, and they can't bring themselves to kill it.
Yeah, this all sounds pretty overwhelming, though. Can you possibly kill and eat all these invasive species?
I can kill and eat a few examples of each. What I'm hoping to do is find a few things that we can turn into a commercial market. Like I think lionfish, there is a real possibility.
I don't think so.
Don't
ask me to invest in that one.
Yeah.
I'm not investing in a lot because they got those spikes on them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and those that get chopped off when the fishermen bring them ashore. You know, they're already down there fishing. That's how they catch spiny lobsters in the Caribbean, which is actually most of the lobster that they serve at the Red Lobster restaurant chain that comes from out in the Caribbean. And they're already down there with spears getting those things, and they've seen the lionfish.
Yeah.
And so we've already got the trade coming from there to here. And, you know, it's not venomous for you to eat it. And the texture is a lot like Chilean sea bass. And we're running out of Chilean sea bass, so it really is a viable alternative, I think.
Yeah, is something eating the Chilean sea bass?
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Chilean sea bass. It was actually for years was known as the Patagonian toothfish. Nobody wanted to eat something called the Patagonian toothfish. So a bunch of marketing guys came up with Chilean sea bass, and now we're running out of them.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with the Lutheran lionfish. You got to rename that.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know, Wisconsin platefish. Does that be a little better?
Poor man's lobster.
I would call it something like that.
You know. So okay, and then the other thing besides the cats, you know, the number one problem of invasive species in this country.
What's that?
Today, thank you for asking. Canadian geese.
Canadian geese. Yeah. It's debatable whether they're. I mean, depends. Everything invasive is native somewhere.
Yeah, and they're not so much invasive as they're. You know, they're flyovers, but you know they are. They live here most of the year now.
The resident geese. Yeah, a lot of those are actually the descendants of live decoys that were kept, and when that was banned federally, people just let them go. And they don't have any. They don't know anything about flying south. They don't know which way is south, so they just hang around and eat all day. I've eaten a lot of Canadian geese. Yeah.
Well, are you involved? You're involved with the geese problem.
I am, because in my own part of Virginia, we've got a lot of the resident geese that are not native to this part of the state, and so yeah, I've been involved with taking a bunch of those, and I've put on some events with an organization called Slow Food, introducing people to geese and learning how to cook them. So it's not like a big Charles Dickens all day sort of thing, you know, quick easy goose.
So there's a slow goose movement, you're saying?
I guess you could call that, yeah. There's at least three people. I think you can call that a movement, right?
I think it starts at three, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But are they protected, though, the geese?
They're regulated.
Migratory birds.
I mean, you can't
shoot
them year-round. It's not like iguanas. You see an iguana, you can eat it, you know. In the United States, but that's not the case with geese. They are federally regulated because they are waterfowl. You need to have a hunting license.
I think Dick Cheney can hunt them year-round.
Places where they are a problem, they want you to. They've got high bag limits. They want you to shoot them. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're a nuisance, and I mean they are flying sacks of what's another word for that?
Dung.
Yes. I mean, and you can't walk in the parks anymore because of the Canadian geese.
Yeah,
and then they bother the ducks.
Yeah, they
harass the ducks.
I want to make a distinction, though, between a nuisance species and an invasive species. You know, a lot of the problem with Canada geese is that we've knocked down forests and put in so they have a lot of food.
Did they bleep whatever you said there?
I guess so. I don't know.
They knocked down forests and they put in what?
Well, when we have a park, you know, that people like to go to, we don't have trees all around. Usually,
right.
We put in a big lawn, and that's a lot of food for them.
That's what you
said. We've transformed habitat into something that grows lots of geese. So that's kind of partially our fault.
Yeah. Have you run into a species that, while being invasive, you would not ever eat?
Oh boy.
You would not consider eating?
I draw the line at horses, dogs, and cats. We have a deal with all three of those groups, and there are, you know, there are feral horses in a lot of places. I don't want to eat a horse.
No.
That's where I draw the line, and also it's got to be something that's big enough to be worth cleaning and cooking. You know, like zebra mussels, big problem, too small to bother with.
Yeah, they are. You got to eat a lot of them.
That's right. Yeah.
And plants as well. You got kudzu in the south.
Yeah, we do have
creeping
kudzu.
Charlie here in the north.
Yeah, the book I'm working on, my first book is a beginner's guide to deer hunting, which is out with Story in September, and then my new book, Eating Aliens, is about dealing with animals mostly, because there are a lot of people who've written about eating invasive plants, but I did do a cooking with kudzu event for NPR this past summer, and it was actually very good.
You know,
What do you mean? Grape leaves, we used a kudzu instead. We made pesto with it. It was all really good.
Yeah. It's cool. And you just have to reach out your window and, you know, grab a bunch, and it's right there.
And there you go. That's right.
It's like paradise.
Yep.
Right outside the window. Well, that's kind of cool there. And then, this continues. Now, are you part of a movement? Now, you mentioned that you had three people for the one movement.
Yeah,
is there a locovore?
Yeah, there is a locavore hunting movement. I think we can. I mean, I get emails from total strangers all around the country every day about it. There are a lot of people doing it. As far as the invasivore thing, that's the word the New York Times came up with. I think I'm the only one doing that systematically. But as far as locavore hunting goes, yeah, there are a lot of people doing that now.
Yeah, because you can't eat it all. No matter how much you want, it's too much for one man to eat.
That's right. It's too much. Yeah. I mean, and as far as the locavore hunting, we've got deer also, which are a big problem in the in eastern states. We've got deer like some places have rats, and so that's it's food right there. You know, you get one deer, you've got 40, 50 pounds of meat, you know, and mm-hmm. it's basically like lean beef. So
yeah. And this whole predation thing, I mean, Sarah Palin, to her credit, opened up that can of worms. She in her show and everything, and her lifestyle, I guess, you know, hunting is a good thing. People should hunt for their food. If you hunt it and eat it, then it's a good thing for the ecosystem, even.
It can be. I think the way that hunting is usually conducted in North America now, it usually is. I don't know that. I mean, Sarah Palin, I'm sure she means well. I've seen the video of her hunting that reindeer. I wasn't really. I saw a lot of safety rules being. I didn't see any blaze orange in that video. Let me put it that way.
She was hunting reindeer. She was hunting a reindeer.
She was hunting caribou. Reindeer are actually just captive caribou, so I should say caribou. But she was hunting a caribou, and she was breaking a lot of safety rules in the process, but I think she means well.
Yes, I noticed the caribou was drugged and staked, which you normally don't see in the wild.
No.
The hunters you see drugged and staked, but not so much the caribou.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. The book is out now. The new one is not out yet, right? Eating
the
Aliens.
The new one is not going to be out until probably next year. I've got half the travel done for that, and then you know, I've got a lot more to do in the spring.
Okay. Where's your next big stop now for a little alien?
Well,
eating?
I'm going to be going back. I'm going to go down to Georgia for another pig hunt. I'm going to be going up to Massachusetts for European green crabs off the coast. I'm going to be going to the Illinois River for Asian carp, and maybe to the island of Aruba for wild goats. So those are some of the stuff I got coming up.
With the carp, you've got basically gefilte fish going there.
I guess you guys have been eating them for a long time.
You guys?
Funny,
I'm sorry.
People say it's inedible, and then what is gefilte fish good? I've never eaten it.
You guys, Jackson? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We're gonna follow your progress, Jackson.
Right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us here. Good luck with the new book, and keep eating.
I will.
Keep
hunting.
Keep eating. Okay. Jackson Landers, ladies and gentlemen, from Keswick, Virginia. He is the alien eater.